Heavenly Father, we worship and honor you as we go into your word. We humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand so that, Lord, I pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my ears, rather upon my heart, my lips, so I will speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. I pray that, Lord God, you will open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. I ask you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful to deliver the word indeed with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, we're continuing our study this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter. We actually finished chapter 12 last week, and we're going to chapter 13 today, but I will recap, because you can't really go into chapter 13 without the end of chapter 12. And the last few verses of chapter 12, starting from verse 28, God, the Holy Spirit, speaking through the Apostle Paul to us, says, God has appointed some in the church. I'm looking at the New King James. No, let's stick with the old King James. Yes, and God has said, that's the way King James said it. Some in the church, like somebody said, if God said them, you can't upset them. A great truth. First, apostles. Then, secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. I explained to us last time that this list is actually the fivefold ministries, just that he mixes the pastoral and the evangelistic anointings, you know, he mixes them up. The miracles and the gifts of healings is the evangelist. Helps, government, and diversities of tongues is the pastor. We learned that from Kenneth Hagin. Give Kenneth Hagin a super clap offering. Amen. That's why you need fathers. You can't read that and get that by yourself if they don't tell you, you know. And I explained last week that these are anointings. They're not titles. They're actually anointings that enable you to stand in an office. And all these anointings do two major things. They preach and they teach. The gifts, the powers that go along with them are just embellishments. But the real thing, well, they're real too. But the major thing is the teaching. Because teaching is the rain that brings about the fruit and the growth. Bible says that, you know, if you have clouds and winds, you say without rain, it says a false gift. So no matter how much power, wind is symbolic of power. You know, when it's raining, you know, wind and clouds and thunder and lightning, all those are symbolic of power. But if you do all of that and there's no rain, the crops will die. Spiritually, it's the same thing. If a person has gifts of the Spirit, you know, and they don't teach and they don't preach, it is the word that is going to produce, you know, the fruit in the hearts of the people. And so we saw very clearly that, you know, we got the evangelist, starting from the evangelist and moving upward. The evangelist preaches and teaches. He does more of preaching than teaching, actually. The what of the fundamentals of the faith, which are simply the new birth and baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what the evangelist does. Then he passes it on to the pastoral anointing. The pastoral anointing teaches both the what and the why people have to stay don't backslide, stay in the kingdom and all of that, you know. And then the teacher teaches the what, the why, and the how of the elementary principles, which again are the new birth, baptism of the Holy Spirit, then healing and prosperity and deliverance. These are the fundamentals. Sadly, you know, most people think that that's the end. That's the whole gospel, and it's not, you know, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, we saw this last time, it said, leaving the elementary principles, let us go on to perfection. However, it's conditional. It says, this will do if God permit. In other words, it's not everywhere God permits the revelation of perfection to flow. If they may talk it, but they will never know it in their spirit, from their spirit by revelation, if the foundations of the fundamentals are not strong. It's just like trying to build a skyscraper, you know, where your foundation is bad. You know, it's going to crumble under the weight. So God says, if this will do, if God. That's why you do not see as much of the prophetic and apostolic anointings in the church as you should, because in many places God doesn't just permit it. I mean, over these years, by the grace and the mercy of God, I've been around to some degree, you know, and you know, there are places I just go only once. God never tells me to go back because they're not ready for it. They're not ready for that. I remember somebody saying this to me. Papa Ralph actually mentioned it too, by revelation. And then somebody who used to be is not here anymore. Used to be a member of this church. You know, he said this to me. This was maybe about 20, 25 years ago. I can't remember exactly. You know, and this is what he said. He said to me, he said, Pastor Luby, I mean, I've been in this church for some time and all that. He said, the things you teach, there's no doubt about it that it is of God. He said, but you're about 20 years ahead of the church. He said, so most people, you know, he said, I who I'm talking myself, I really don't understand. But I know it's true. It's just that, you know, he said, and Papa Ralph said that. Papa Ralph said, you know, you're about 20, 25 years ahead of the rest of the church. You know, and that's because they're not ready. Because the fundamentals, you know, the basics are not solid. You know, you have a lot of distortion about healing, you have a lot of distortion about prosperity, you have a lot of distortion about deliverance. So when you haven't even got the basics right, who's going to now take you on to perfection? But the ministry of the prophet and apostle is primarily to take the church from the basics into perfection. So the prophet will teach and preach about perfection and going under the fullness of God, you know. And the apostle too will do the same thing, but he does more detail in the teaching. He gives what we call the instruction or the how of the how, you know. And God showed me by revelation that it's like an assembly line in a factory. The raw material is the sinner. So the evangelistic anointing brings him in, passes on to the pastoral anointing. Pastoral anointing strengthens him, gets him established, you know, gives him onto the teaching anointing, teaches him the details of how to live in victory, healing, deliverance, prosperity, and all of that. Then once he's got those foundations, passes him on to the prophetic anointing, and begins to tell him that, you know, you should go on to perfection, and begins to tell him about the purposes of God in his life. Let me repeat what I've said in the past, and it bears repetition now because it's contextual. And that is that the prophet is not a fortune teller. See, most people think of the prophetic as somebody who comes to tell you the future. It's true. Your future is perfection. Really, seriously, it is true. But it's not the future like you think it, you know. Now, of course, God knows the future, you know. However, he doesn't just, that's the difference between the true prophets and fortune tellers. See, fortune teller who's operating with familiar spirits. We saw this in Acts chapter 16. There was this girl who used to tell people, you know, and people still do it today. Today they're called psychics. The same thing. It's even on the internet, you know. You can go, but don't do it too, because it's evil spirits, you know. And they can accurately predict some things, not everything. Satan doesn't know everything, but he does know some things. So, you know, and when you say prophet, that's what most Christians think of. No, a prophet is one who preaches and teaches the purposes of God for your life, which basically really is the perfection, the fullness of Christ. He begins to teach and teach you. He won't tell you everything and not initially tell you some of it, you know. And sometimes it may contain some personal things about your life. Then if you believe the prophet, what they teach and preach, you know, then you will prosper in those purposes. That's why the Bible says, believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established, the fundamentals. Then believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. He's not just talking about money. He's talking about prospering in your spiritual growth, prospering in the purposes of God that God has in store for you, you know. And then, of course, the apostle does the same thing, but he just does it in more detail. The speciality of the prophet is revelation. The speciality of the apostle is wisdom. That's why Paul spoke about this spirit of wisdom and revelation. You first of all get revelation before you can get wisdom. Wisdom is how to not apply the revelation that you got. You know, a very good example of that apostolic anointing, even though it was in the Old Testament, is Joseph. Joseph got a revelation of Pharaoh's dream. But if he had just got a revelation, that would not help them. Now, Pharaoh didn't get the wisdom in his dream. All he got was the dream. So when Joseph interpreted the dream, he not only told him what his dream was, he now told him the wisdom of what to do so that, you know, they could prosper. And that's why that is symbolic, you know, type of the apostolic. The apostolic will not only bring revelation, it'll also, on top of that, it'll bring wisdom of what to do about the revelation so you can prosper, you know, or succeed in the purposes. So many people don't have that, you know. They get revelation, then they don't know what to do with it, you know. And these are the fivefold anointings, and each of them have certain gifts of the Spirit that are attached to them. So that you find the evangelist has usually gifts of healings and workings of miracles. The pastor will have prophecy, diversities of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Then there's things called helps. You know, if you look in one of the modern translations, it says, you know, powers of organization, how to organize the church, how to govern the church. That's why it's called governments. You know, how to govern the church. Then the teacher will have word of wisdom, word of knowledge from God's word. Pastor too will have that to some degree. You know, then the prophet will also have revelation gifts. But the revelation gifts from the word are now geared towards perfection. And the apostle will have the revelation gifts. He'll also have the power gifts. He'll also have the utterance gifts. So you find a fully developed apostle will have all the nine gifts of the Spirit, which brings me to what I want to talk about today. You know, I mentioned it, you know, passingly last week. You know, where God is taking us to, I shared this with us last week. I asked a rhetorical question. You know, are you a pastor? Are you an evangelist? Are you a what? The truth about the matter is that we all are, but certainly not at the same time. So he asked the rhetorical question in verses 29 and 30. And he says, are all apostles? The answer, of course, is no, not at the same time. God gave me that revelation many years ago. It's not just no. It's no at the same time. That's the full answer. Because your position in the church should be changing as you grow. It's dynamic. Why? Because I explained this last week. People are getting born again every day, and people are dying and going to heaven every day. I'm talking about the church on the earth. There's the church in heaven, you know, where, you know, they're still working. They're still, you know, having conferences, and, you know, they're very concerned about what's going on here. The Bible calls them the cloud of witnesses, you know. But for the church on the earth, people are... So if you got born again like me, let me use Olubi Johnson. I got born again in 1979, so I was somewhere down there. And over the years, I started growing. So my position is no longer where it was in 1979. So if you ask in 1979, you know, do I have an apostolic anointing? The answer would have been no. But you can't say the same thing now in 2022. So it is. You know, and that's not only true for Olubi Johnson, it's true for everybody. You know, sadly and regrettably, most Christians don't grow much. You know, not that they don't grow at all, but they don't grow sufficiently. Paul lamented the situation in both in the Corinthian church and the Hebrews. He said, watch this. He said, by reason of time, you ought to be teachers. He said, by now, if you're growing, you should have had the teaching anointing. And that's true of so many people. You know, by now, you find the teaching anointing is not very common in the church. You know, you find a lot of preaching, but very little accurate teaching. And the reason is not far-fetched. To actually operate the teaching anointing, you have to have a significant measure of revelation knowledge. And most Christians, you'd be amazed how people don't even know what revelation. When is a revelation knowledge? People think of dream and vision. Revelation is not just dreams and visions. In fact, dreams and visions are the lowest level of revelation knowledge. By the time God resorts to dreams and visions, because he's not able to get across to you through the word. So he has to now use a dream and a vision, which are more spectacular to your physical senses, because your spirit, your mind, because of your stubbornness and the stubbornness and the rebellion of the will, is not open in sufficient measure to get enough light into the mind. So he can't use the word. So he has to use a dream or a vision to get your attention. You know, and we see this in Numbers 12:8. God speaking to Moses. We're going to look at that again in 1 Corinthians 13. Maybe not today, but as we go on in these series of teachings, you find God speaking through Moses. He said, you know, talking about Miriam and Aaron. He said, when I speak to a prophet, I speak to him in vision and dream. He said, but my servant Moses not so. It means the way I communicate with Moses is on a higher level. You know, so dreams and visions are at the lower level. And he said, for Moses, my son, I speak to him mouth to mouth, or the word. That's why the prophet Isaiah, he said, to the law and to the testimony. He said, if they speak not according to this word, he says, because there's no light in them. You know, another thing we need to understand, I thank God. Can I take another super clap offering? I thank God for prophets who had gone ahead and taught us, so we were able to, you know, navigate this maze. You know, without prophets and teachers who had taught us, we would have got lost. And Kenneth Hagin said something. He said that in the Old Testament, see, the Old Testament is the foundation, is the scripture. You know, that's why Paul said all scripture. He was not talking about the New Testament. It was just being written. So not the Old Testament. Majority of the revelation in the Old Testament came through visions and dreams, because there was nothing else before then. So you find Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, you know, they either have a vision or a dream, or where they don't have one, the word of the Lord will come unto them directly and they'll write it down. That now formed the foundation for the New Testament. So every New Testament, every true New Testament prophet and apostle will always reference the Old Testament. That is our base of authority. If you speak not according to that word, it's because there is no light or revelation. You don't have any revelation. You don't know what God is saying. You know. So Kenneth Hagin said to us, he said that, you know, so you find that's why you find a you find more of visions and and dreams in the Old Testament. But you're not supposed to be having more of that in the New Testament, because the foundation and the word is already there. I used to listening to me. And I remember, you know, Papa Hagin, he used this word. He made a distinction. He said, in the Old Testament, what we had was foretelling. In the New Testament, what we have is forthtelling. I'm going to repeat that, because most people went over the head. In the Old Testament, you had foretelling. So they're telling you what's going to happen. And these were things that happened, you know, that are prophesied hundreds, thousands of years before they happened. Right from Genesis, you know, through Moses, you know, right until Malachi. You know, for Malachi, between Malachi and the birth of Christ was 400 years. So what you have is that in the Old Testament, there was a lot of foretelling. In the New Testament, many of the things that were prophesied were fulfilled, not all of it, But some of it had been fulfilled, especially after Jesus came and the church started and all of that. So the New Testament prophet, he doesn't do as more of foretelling as he does of forthtelling. Forthtelling means he now begins to explain what has already been said by revelation. I didn't pick that from heart. I heard it from Kenneth Hagin. You know? So you find that, you know, when you understand it properly, you know, all this overemphasis on dreams and visions and all of that, you know, is because of a lack of, see, there is no light in them. You know, there's a lack of internal revelation knowledge, you know. So, yes, God sometimes will speak through dreams and visions, but it is not his primary method of talking to us, the New Testament church. The primary method is through the word. And all visions and dreams must be judged by the word. If they speak, he said, to the law and to the testimony. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, I think it is. You know? So if they speak not according to his word, he said, because there's no light in them. You know? So, a person can have a vision or a dream, you know? Even Peter, writing about Jesus' experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know? You know, and said, you know, we were with him in the Holy Mount, and there came a voice from heaven. They had a vision. You know, Jesus was transformed before them. They saw Moses and Elijah, you know, and all of that. He said, we were with him in the Holy Mount, and there came a voice that this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. He said, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, this word is more sure than that vision we had on the mountain. And you need to understand that. You know, I think the Holy Spirit wanted me to reemphasize that because, see, most Christians, when they think of the prophetic, they always think of dreams, visions, and somebody comes to predict to them, oh, you're going to go to Abuja next week, and you're going to go to London next year, and you're going to marry Mary. I don't know why Mary came out, but, you know, you know, you're going to marry whoever, you know. And God doesn't normally do that. He doesn't normally do that. What he will do is he will lead you by his spirit. The witness of the spirit. Then whoever it is he wants you to marry, he will bring that person into your sphere of influence. Then you will have a witness of the spirit about it, you know, which you should check with your spiritual oversight, you know. And also he will show spiritual compatibility, mental compatibility, that is, same degree of mental development, you know, then of course some degree of physical compatibility. And when all that clicks in, then you then know he's Mary. But nobody's going to come and tell you, thus said the Lord, you know, behold. there used to be one funny guy, you know. He was in IVCU, I still remember. I'm not going to mention the guy's name. You know, and he used to go about terrorizing sisters. It's a true story. You know, he spoke in this funny Yoruba accent. He said, thus said the Lord. Not thus said the Lord, but thus said the Lord. you know, the Lord has said you will marry. We used to laugh our heads off. You know, thank God. Give Ken Hagin another super clap offering. And then give Brother Emiko Amoshuka a super clap. It was people like Brother Emiko, you know, Kent Hagin, through people like Brother Emiko, that came and cleared all that nonsense out. They used to terrorize the sisters. So generally they see a fine one. Thus said the Lord. And God had nothing to do with it. It was just their carnal mind, you know. And so, sadly, some people got hooked up into all of that, thinking that they were obeying God or disobeying God. You know, felt guilty and all of that. But there were others who God was able to use, people like Kenneth Hagin and Brother Emiko. Goes, no, don't listen to all of that. You know, if God's going to lead, he's going to lead you through his spirit. If you're a witness, if you don't have a witness on you, I don't care how many thoughts said the Lord that you hear, you know, you don't believe it. Are you listening to me? It's a complete abuse of the prophetic office. The purpose of the prophet is to preach and teach the purposes of God. You know, so that the people can grow into perfection, you know. And if they believe the prophet, then they are able to, you know, act, prosper in that purpose. So the prosper is not even just money. It includes money. But it's not primarily money. It's prospering in the purpose. So what does the prophet do? True prophets preach and teach and sometimes prophesy, you know, about the purposes of God, usually for us New Testament Christians now, in the immediate future. In the Old Testament, it was in the far future, centuries and millennia. But now we don't have millennia. Jesus is coming. Now, all prophetic something is now restricted to decades. 10 years, 15, 20. You don't have time now to have prophesy something that's going to happen in 100 years' time. Jesus would have come. We know that because we know the time. That's the prophet in operation. Prophets know the times and the seasons. I can speak with confidence. Say, Jesus is not coming. He's not coming in 100 years. He's coming in 30 years. Now, I don't know the exact day or hour, but I can tell you the time and the season. Are you listening to me? So that's why, you know, if you're living your life now, you have to plan in that kind of time frame. And live as if Jesus is coming tomorrow. For what shall it profit a man if he gains this whole world and then loses his soul? And it's another beautiful scripture. It's in Peter. You know, I don't know if I'll talk about that today. You know, where he says that looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. In other words, what we do or don't do can either delay or it can hasten the time of his coming, number one. Then number two, he says in that same scripture, in that same context, he said that, you know, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. This whole world is going to be, God is, when he comes back, he's going to completely refurbish the whole place. Everything's going to be burnt up with fire. Then he's going to redo it. And then he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. So why do you spend all your time, you know, investing here? Now invest and use the money for the gospel. Are you listening to me? But you're wasting your time, you know, trying to invest for the next 200-300 years. You're not in 1517. You're in 2022. So the perspective should now be different. Am I talking to anybody here? Amen. Now, Paul now asks. So that's why, you know, are all prophets? No. Are all apostles? No, not at the same time. Are all teachers? No, not at the same time. Are all workers of miracles? No, all not at the same time. Have all the gifts of healings? No, not at the same time. Do all speak in tongues? No, not at the... Now you get it. Now you cannot use this scripture to now say, the Bible says you all speak in tongues. All of us are supposed to speak in tongues. Talking about the prayer language of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here, he's not talking about the tongues of the prayer language. He's talking about a ministry of tongues, diversities of tongues, and interpretation. Again, without the fathers, we wouldn't know this. And it would confuse us. And people would go, do all speak in tongues? Bible says, I know that's what it says, but that's not what it means. No, it doesn't mean what you think it means. It means that do all, you know, have a ministry of diversity of tongues and interpretation which belongs inside the pastoral office. That's what he's talking about. I know because Pastor Porter and myself and Ms. Porter, we used to operate this when I was in that church in London. You know, it's actually, you find a lot of diversity of tongues and prophecy inside the local church. That's why if I hear on Sundays, you know, usually sometimes, maybe 2-3 times a month, sometimes, you know, I'll bring prophetic word, you know, during the worship and all of that. And what's the purpose of the prophecy? Comfort, edification, and exhortation. That's the purpose. It comforts you. It encourages you. It strengthens you to move on. Not fortune telling. Occasionally, it might do fortune telling. You know, tell you something specific. And usually when it gives you something specific, it has to do with the purpose. For instance, I learned this also from Kenneth Hagin. You know, when God chose Saul to become king, Samuel, you know, God said, you go and anoint, you know, king. You know, so he went to, you know, wanted to come to pray for Saul. This is when, you know, Saul was still a good boy. When he was too small in his own eyes. And so Saul's uncle had lost some donkeys. So in going to look for donkeys, he now stopped by the house of Samuel, you know. And then Samuel now said, you're the one who's been chosen to be king. Samuel anointed Saul as king. Then he said, in fact, about the donkeys, they've been found. Don't worry yourself. So there was something about the material, but the primary thing was the purpose of the king. And you did get it. It wasn't, you know, so you don't go for it and say, God, please, where are my donkeys? Saul, watch this. Saul went to Samuel because of the donkeys. His uncle told him to go and look for the donkeys. The donkeys were missing. Then he now told his servant, he said, there's an honorable man here. He's a man of God. You know, they say he can, you know, let's say it in Yoruba, Umariron. Let's, in English, it means he's a seer. So he sees things and knows things supernaturally. So let's stop by and see him. You know, so he will be able to tell us where the donkeys are. So they come to Samuel and they bring a gift. He said, ah, we should not go empty-handed. You know, I talked about communication last week. So he goes, and he goes with a small gift, you know. Samuel doesn't even talk about the donkeys. The reason why God led, he used the donkeys, but the reason why God led Saul to the house of Samuel was for Samuel to confirm to him his calling as king. That's the purpose. It was after the purpose had been fulfilled. And all that, he now said, incidentally, don't worry about donkeys, they're already at home. That's God's priority. So whenever you're listening to prophecy and all of that, ask, what's the purpose here? Not where the donkey's here. Just using it as a type. Yes, the donkey can be money, donkey can be Abuja, the donkey can be contract. And most people, when they're looking for prophecy, they're looking for donkey instead of purpose. Give Kenneth Hagin another super clap offering. I didn't learn that by myself. I learned that listening to Kenneth Hagin. Are you listening to me? So we are not all these things at the same time, but we should all grow to the fullness of Christ. And if, big if, it's a conditional if we grow to the fullness of Christ, we will have all these things. We'll have the apostolic anointing, we'll have the prophetic anointing, we'll have the gifts of healing, we'll have workings of miracle, we'll have everything. And that's the purpose of God. I've heard three amens. You know the rest, you know why they didn't say amen? They don't believe it. God help our unbelief. But that's the truth. Don't believe it. I asked you the rhetorical question. If you grow in the fullness of Christ, are you a pastor? Of course. Is Jesus a pastor? Is Jesus an evangelist? Is Jesus a teacher? Everybody, that one's obvious. It's all over the New Testament. Amen. Is Jesus a prophet? Of course. Is Jesus an apostle? The Bible calls him all five. So if you grow up into him in all things, now, Lord, didn't he say in all things? He didn't say a few things. So it's got the prophetic is part of the things. The apostolic is part of the things. The teacher is part of the things. The evangelist is part of the thing. The pastor is part of the things. You can't fault it. Are you listening to me? Like Paul said in one place, this saying is without, you know, without, there's a word he used. You know, this is a true saying without, without contradiction. Thank you, Pastor Wally. Without contradiction. You can't contradict it. Well, I've taught you now, you can't contradict it. Are you listening to me? Now, verse 31 is going to take us into chapter 13. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet, I show unto you a more excellent way. Now, I'm going to ask two rhetorical questions, and I'm going to answer them. The first one is, what are the best gifts? The second one is, a more excellent way to what? I preached this some weeks ago. One of the more excellent way to power. A more excellent way to having the best gifts. That's what he's saying. Now, let's ask ourselves, what are the best gifts? You know, for years, I couldn't really answer this question with accuracy. You know, that's why revelation is progressive and it's continuous. You know, I didn't learn from Kenneth Hagin. I got my foundations in Kenneth Hagin. But as I prayed and grew over the years, you know, but then when we're doing school of ministry, I was able to bring this out, you know, by the Spirit. And this is it. And when I tell you, you won't be able to fault it. It's without contradiction. What are the best gifts? I heard Kenneth Hagin and some of the other people say over the years that the best gift is the one you need at the time. So you see, if somebody needs healing and I have revelation about who he's going to marry, I'm not really helping him. So the best gift at that time will be the one which is correct. But there's a higher level of that. There's a more precise, more accurate, you know. I discovered that there were best gifts in each category. You see, the gifts of the Spirit are in three categories. Revelation, which are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning the spirits. Power, which are special faith, workings of miracles, and gifts of healings. Both in plural, we learned that from Derek Prince. Then, number three, the utterance or vocal gifts. That is, gifts that say something, that you speak, you know, which are prophecy, diversities of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. Now, in each category, there is a gift which is best. And I'm going to tell you what they are. In category number one, which is revelation gifts, the best gift is word of wisdom. Why? Because wisdom is the principal thing. You see, you cannot talk about wisdom if you don't have knowledge. It's not impossible. Wisdom answers the question how. Knowledge answers the question what. But you can't talk about a how if you didn't know the what. So if you have a word of wisdom, automatically you have a word of knowledge. Now, the discernings of spirits is just a carrier gift. Discerning of spirits is like a car. I use the word, you know, like a vessel. I use the word carrier. It carries in itself. It's empty. It's an empty shell. The discerning of spirits contains, it carries word of wisdom and word of knowledge. But if I just have a vision, and this has happened, I told you about one funny guy, Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland talked about this guy who in the 1940s, 1950s, you know, Jesus appeared to him and told him a few things on deliverance. Isaiah fasted for 40 days, almost killed himself, you know, when Jesus appeared to him. So Jesus appeared to him. And then read him Ephesians chapter 6 and then disappeared. Well, he had discerning of spirits, but it was empty. He didn't have to have discerning of spirits to read Ephesians 6. No teaching, no revelation, just appeared to him, read Ephesians 6 and disappeared. It's discerning of spirits, but it was an operation of discerning of spirits that didn't contain any word of wisdom and word of knowledge. For instance, the book of Revelation is discerning the spirits. John, I was in the Spirit of the Lord, said he had an open vision. It's chock full of word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Tells him all the things that are going to happen in the future. But you have to understand that the discerning of spirits is a carrier gift. It only carries, it contains word of wisdom and word of knowledge. And of the two, word of wisdom and word of knowledge, the superior one is word of wisdom. So of the three, the superior one is word of wisdom. Did you get it? If you got it, give me a wave offering. If you didn't, scratch your head and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Now, number two is the power gifts. Of these three, the best is special faith. Because special faith always, without exception, is followed by workings of miracles. What is workings of miracles? Workings of miracles is a temporary suspension of physical laws. For instance, when Joshua spoke to the sun to stand still in the valley of Ajalon, what actually happened was that God put his hand on the earth and stopped the rotation for 24 hours. Normally, the earth rotates around its axis, but the creator, after all, he's the creator. It's his earth. Have you ever read the scripture that says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? So if he wants to stop it, he can. Hello? You know, the Bible says all the heavens are like a 9-inch span. No problem for God to put his hand on the earth. And he just held it like that for 24 hours, obeying the voice of Joshua. After 24 hours, he just released it and the earth continued to rotate. Are you listening to me? So that's what we call workings of miracles. God doesn't do that every day. He hasn't done it since. He may still do it before we close this dispensation. We don't know. The Bible says that all the law and the prophets must be fulfilled. So, you know, he might not, you know. The splitting of the Red Sea is workings of miracles. You don't split the Red Sea every day. You go around in a boat. Are you listening to me? Even the Lord Jesus, when he was here, the Lake of Gennesaret, you know, the Sea of Galilee, we don't have any incident of Jesus speaking to the sea and the sea parting. He could have, but he didn't. God didn't allow him to. God didn't permit him to. Are you listening to me? So workings of miracles always follow special faith. That's why we call it special. See, you have your ordinary faith, which you use for, you know, prayer, and, you know, the just shall live by faith. That's your ordinary faith. But workings of miracles, that's why I call it special faith. It always brings about a temporary suspension of physical laws. Walking on water is workings of miracles. Turning water to wine is workings of miracles. You don't see it every day. Then gifts of healings is good, but it's the workings of miracles is superior to gifts of healings. Let me explain. You know, I think I heard Kenneth Hagin say this too. You know, it wasn't his experience, but he was talking about one of the old Pentecostal fathers, one Daddy Smith or something, if I can't remember the name. There was a child, and there was no eye in the socket. No eyes. The socket is empty. So this father prayed for him with special faith. God did not heal the eyes. He created it. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Now, if their eye was there and he had a cataract and he couldn't see, or it was there, like in case of the man born blind, do you understand? There's eye, there's just that the eye is not functional. And you pray, that's gifts of healings. Workings of miracles creates gift of healing, heals. The two completely different things. And one is superior to the other. You know? So if you have gifts of, if you have workings of miracles in operation, and what is needed is gifts of healing, you just create whatever is needed and, you know, fix it. And we're going to see plenty of that in this coming day. Plenty of it. Let me give a word that will encourage a lot of people, particularly women. This actually happened, so it's not something that's going to be new in this Feast of Tabernacles, because it's happening under Pentecost with John G. Lake. This recorded, you know, a record of women who have had a hysterectomy. Hysterectomy. That's why I don't like medicine. Too many names. Why don't you just say the removing of the womb? Keep it simple. You know, okay. So, you know, you have a hysterectomy and they remove the womb. Remove it completely. It's a true story. You know, and in one of John G. Lake's meetings, you know, workings of miracles was in operation. A new womb was created. It was documented by doctors. Completely. That's not healing. That's a miracle. We're going to have plenty of that plenty of it. It's coming. Are you listening to me? Special faith, that's what it produces. It produces workings of miracles. So of the three power gifts, the best is special faith. Then we come to the vocal gifts. Prophecy, diversity of tongues, and that one's very easy. Of the three, the best of them is prophecy. Because tongues and interpretation is just like prophecy. It's just like having, when we used to, it's amazing how the years have changed, isn't it, prof? You know, remember when we were kids, Pastor Boyga, I remember this, Sheia, the Shola too, remember. We used to have 2 5-couple. How many people remember 5-couple? And then you put 2 5-couple, what do you get? 10-couple. Most of these ones, they have never seen 10-couple before. You can't buy anything now with 10-couple. God will restore Nigeria and the years of the canker worm has eaten. I still remember as a child, you know, if I was even before the 5-couple, this was in the imperial days, you know, imperial is something, you know, there was half a penny. Ekwini. There was half a penny, then there was a penny, you know, then there was 3 pence, then there was 6 pence. Then there was 1 shilling. Remember as scouts. Remember Boba Job? They're looking at me. You know, when you are a Boy Scout or a Wolf Cub, when you go and work for people, maybe wash their accounts, and they'll give you 1 shilling. We used to call it Bob a Job. That is, for every job you do, you get 1 bob. Now, so I still remember, you know, my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, and my maternal grandfather. My grandfather's a rich man, you know. When we used to go and visit him, my mom would take us, you know, and all of that, you know, Muslim holidays and things like that, you know. You know, we used to call him Papa Gbangbosi because they lived on Gbangbosi Road in Lagos, you know. He was a lawyer and Queen's Counselor and all of that, you know. You go and see my grandfather. My grandfather will give you 10 shillings. Oh, my God. It was a note. There was 1 pound. Then there was 10 shillings. My mother would take the 10 shillings from us. It's too much money. It was too much money for, how old were we? 7, 8, 9 years old. Then my mom would now give us, you say, I'll put this in your savings account. Then she would now give us 6 pence. 6 pence is a lot of money. I will go down the road with that 6 pence. You know, I'll buy chewing gum. I'll buy goody-goody. I will buy groundnut. I will buy... In those days, you can't finish 6 pence food. When you go, you tell them, Mama, Effie, rice, toro, you know, Aaron, toro, you know. But the food will be so much. I'll give the Lord a clap offering. God will restore the years. That's how good Nigeria used to be. I'm talking about the 1960s, you know, even the early 70s. Even the early 70s, you know. You can't finish 1 shilling food. You can't. One person can't finish it. By now you buy rice for 3 pence, and you buy meat, and then you buy dodo, and then you buy ewa. Your whole plate will be like this. And everything you spend is only 9 pence. How do we get off on that? Talking about prophecy. So, 2 toros make 6 pence. 2 5-couples make 10-couple. Diversities of tongues and interpretation make prophecy. So, of all the three, the superior one is prophecy. Now, thank you, Jesus. Paul said, desire earnestly the best gifts. And now we've identified what they are. So the revelation gifts, the best is word of wisdom. Of the power gifts, the best is special faith. Of the utterance gifts, the best is prophecy. So how then do I get these best gifts? He said, I will show you a more excellent way. In other words, and what that way is love. We're going to look at that next week. You know, he said, in that's how, you see, chapter 12, flows directly into chapter 13. So it says, though I speak in tongues, I'm not going to deal with that today. But the point is, love is the way of getting the best gifts. How? Because if you develop love, if you grow in love, the scripture has a word for it. It's called perfecting the love of God. If you, let me correct that a little bit. Let me modify it. So make it a little bit more palatable. Hello. As you perfect the love of God, you know, the love of God, I've taught this in great detail in the last 2 years, especially during the pandemic. Perfecting the love of God is actually allowing the love of God to have its complete run through you on a daily basis. It goes from your spirit, it goes into your soul, from your soul into your body, into your circumstances, you know, so that you can do what God would do in every situation. That's what love is. Because God is love. God doesn't have love. God is love. Love is the character of God. Now, let's bring it to the gifts. If you allow the love of God to grow in you, if you grow spiritually and you become more like God, which is love, what's going to happen is this. It's amazing, Pastor G. Your ordinary discernment. You're supposed to have this. All of us will have discernment. You know, you pray for spirit of wisdom, revelation every day. Just your opinion, just what you sense will be as effective as discernings of spirits. And it will contain word of wisdom and word of knowledge. That's what happened to Paul. Paul didn't have a gift of the spirit in operation. It was a discernment. He said, I perceive that this journey is going to be with much danger, not only for the ship, but also for our lives. It came to pass exactly. He didn't have an angel. He didn't have a vision. He didn't have a gift. As you grow spiritually, that's why you should make growth your priority. That's the way to the best gifts. I'm showing you a more excellent way. If you develop the love of God, you'll have the best gifts, watch this, in operation in your life all the time. You know why? Your ordinary discernment will be like discerning of spirits. It will always contain word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Your ordinary faith will become like special faith. Even though it's ordinary faith you're using, it will start having the results of special faith. Jesus didn't have the gifts of the Spirit in operation. He had his own faith. But his faith was as good as special faith. So when he says, take the water, fill the 6 water pots, draw it and take it to the governor of the feast. He was just talking by faith. But it was special faith in operation. The water changed to wine. Now, you're going to do that. Unbelief. Lord, help thou unbelief. He speaks to the fig tree. No man eat fruit. He wasn't trying to do anything. It's just his ordinary faith. The Bible says he dried. You go and try it outside. Then you will know it's not like that. It is that it dried from its roots within 24 hours. A special faith. But it was his ordinary faith because he had grown. This is the more excellent way. His ordinary speech became like prophecy. He didn't have to say, thus said the Lord. He didn't have to do tongues and interpretation. He would just speak and it would be from God. That's why the more excellent way to having the best gifts in your life on a consistent basis is to perfect the love of God. Because God is love. And if you develop love, you're developing God in you. So when you discern, it will be like God discerning. When you speak, your faith will be like God speaking. When you speak, you know, it will be like prophecy. Stand to your feet. Jesus spoke to Judas the night in which he betrayed him. He didn't have a word of wisdom or word of wisdom. He was just talking. He said, He said to Peter, he said, before the cock crows twice, you would have denied me 3 times. Peter didn't believe. It's just ordinary talk. But the ordinary talk had become like prophecy. your ordinary discernment will be as accurate as have as though you had a vision. You had discerning spirits. Your ordinary faith will start producing the results of special faith. And that's why God said, he said, I will. See, Paul got it. He got a revelation of it. He said, I will show you a more. All these nine gifts of spirit and all this. I will show you a more excellent way of having the best gifts in your experience on a consistent basis. We're going to do this, deal with this next week, but I will mention it now. It's the greatest revelation God has given me, Olubi Johnson. I've said it over the years. This revelation of the love of God. See, when you begin to understand that love, it is God is love. It says twice in the Epistle of John, in 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 4:16. Easy to remember. Another message for another day. You know, in the love of God. God is love. God doesn't have love. It is God who defines love. It is not love that defines God. So what is love? Love is discerning by the wisdom that comes from the Word of God. Feeling by the compassion that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. And doing by the power that comes from the life of God. What God would do in every situation, for God is love. So you can see how that ties in with this. If you discern, you know, we have the wisdom, it's like God talking to you. So what do you need a vision for? You feel what God feels by compassion. Yes, so whatever you say in that situation would be like special faith. It will create miracles. You know, when you talk, you'll be talking just as if it's God who's talking. It is God in you. That's where we're going. Behold, I show you a more excellent, and that way is love. The way to get the best of the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation in your life on a consistent basis is this way of love. I cannot overemphasize the importance of what I've just shared with you. I listen to people because I understand that no one has a monopoly of wisdom. So I also listen to other people, you know. But I must say, sadly and regrettably, you know, most, you know, you find that the church is still, we're going to see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to do it next week. You know, the church is still playing around like babies. When I was a child, it's truth. I think like a child. I speak like a child. They're still seeing through a glass darkly. Whereas they should be talking face to face, like Moses. Because most people, I shared this last time I preached on this, they're chasing for power. And they don't understand that the way to power is love. Stop wasting your time. And if you keep chasing for power without love, you will get power, but it won't be from God. It will be from these familiar spirits. You know, I used to wonder about that scripture. It's a powerful scripture, but it's true. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, this day. It's going to happen. As the glory of God comes now, some people who don't manifest, but I've prophesied, I have cast out devils. In fact, those are the two main ones. Prophecy, which has been distorted, and casting out of devils. And go and check. That's where most of them operate. I always tell them, I say, if you have so much power, you know, why don't we see virtue coming out of you and healing everyone? That means you don't have the real thing. Oh, yeah. You know? I say, if look at, Jesus is the prototype. Let's see you like Jesus. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils on a consistent basis without, you know, struggling with the devil for the next 6 hours and asking what his name is. Then he dribbles you all over the whole place and all that thing is childish operation, you know, and many times not just childish, it opens the door to familiar spirits, and it's not actually God in operation. You know, maybe it starts with God and then Satan, you know, hijacks the whole process, you know, and all of that. That's why you don't see me doing all that. I don't get into all that nonsense. The Bible says he casts a spirit with his word. I speak the word, the power behind it will cast that silly devil out. Now, after that, you know, jumping around with the devil and begging him for his name, then rolling on the floor, and then he gives you one stone, one obanje, he goes under one tree somewhere. All kinds of silly things. You know, it's the truth. You know, and you know the reason why? They will not seek after love. Everybody's looking for power. Everybody's looking for great money and prosperity. But you do not see an emphasis on the love of God. I'm going to say this and close. The more excellent way to the best of the gifts of the Spirit and the fullness of the power of God is love. It's not only the more excellent way, it's the only way. You get off that track, Satan will accommodate you. He'll give you fake. When I say fake, it doesn't mean it won't work. It will work. Janus and Jambres, their rods became snakes. So it will work. When I say fake, I mean it's not from God. It's counterfeit. He'll give you counterfeit word of wisdom, counterfeit prophecy, counterfeit gifts of healings, counterfeit workings of miracles. Turning a rod to a snake is a working of a miracle. Go and try it. Like when you get home tonight, take a stick in your house and say, God, I become a stick in Jesus, man. Nothing's going to happen. But it happened. So Satan can work miracles. Satan can heal. It's very easy for him to heal. Who put the sickness there anyway? It's him. If he put it there, he can take it away. Don't be deceived by, you know, word of manifestations of so-called wisdom, of power, you know, of prophecy. Satan can do, he can duplicate all of those things to a degree. He's not as powerful as God. The way you know you're on safe ground is love. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah.
Lord, I come to you.
Oh, sing it.
Let my heart be changed. Renewed.
Flowing
from the grace that I found in you.
Oh, sing it. What a song. What a word.
Lord, I've come to know
the weaknesses
I see in me
will be stripped away. By the power.
By the power of your love.
Glory to God. Draw me to your side.
Draw me to your side.
And as I wait,
and as I wait,
I'll rise up
like the
Your spirit
lives beyond
in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes.
Oh, Lord,
glory to God.
Unveil my eyes. Lord, unveil my eyes.
Let me see you.
Let me see your face.
To feel
the knowledge of your love.
The knowledge of your love.
As you live
in me. give you my mind.
As your will unfold.
As your will unfold.
In my life.
Living every day.
Living every day.
Your love. Hold me close, glory to God.
Hold me close.
Hold me close.
Let your love.
Let your love.
In the power of your love,
and I will soar with you, Lord.
And I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on. In the power of your love,
and I will soar with you.
I will soar with you.
And I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on. In the power.
Put one hand on your heart and raise the other one to God. We're going to pray in a minute. I want you to prioritize love. We don't take love seriously. In this church, if you've been following me, you will. You should. But many people don't take it. You know, in fact, people think love is weak. Maybe I've been preaching that thing like meekness, gentleness. Where is the power in that one? That's what the carnal mind thinks. But that's where the real power is, because that's what God is like. Love is a character of God. We're going to look at this next week. That's what God, those are the characteristics of God. That's what makes God God. And if you want power, that's the way. And like I said earlier, the only way. Any other way, Satan will trip you up. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. I thank you for your word again this morning. Firstly, I confess my sins. Where I have not prioritized the love of God as I should. Where I have thought carnally that maybe love is weak. And love will not give me any power. That love is just the fruit of the Spirit. And doesn't have power. Oh God, I repent. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, fresh life and power into my spirit as we pray. Father, come and teach me. Teach me the way of love. Reveal to me, like you revealed to Paul. And like Pastor has just preached this morning, reveal to me that the more excellent way to having the best of the gifts of the Spirit in my life on a consistent basis is the way of love. Then after the revelation, give me the wisdom to act upon it so that it will become my experience in this third day, in the time of the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the feast of love, the ingathering of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Oh God, have mercy on me. And help me in Jesus' name. Nika tolo moshaka to fredesk. Lipriki kofridika saki fred. Ha ha ha. Father, thank you. Zalabrika tolo moshangara. Lord Jesus, aprikito fredengaras. Lord Holy Ghost, aprikito fredengi tuske fred. We thank you for your blood, da baraka tuske frene. We thank you for your life, shaketo fredek lamatolo matu frene. We thank you for your power. Nea! Shakika kofredelas, reba, lombregala, jirikito frene. Into our wills, lapriketolo matu frenes. In and upon our minds, lapriketo frenes. emotions, la prigitofrenia, la mostofrenia, our physical bodies, la prigitofrenia, our circumstances, ricotofrenia, l'ombre che la mostofrenia, insufficient measure, rambe, l'ambragala, l'ombre che tosche frene, shekikofre, l'ombre di scala. In Jesus' name. As we're praying, like Paul, I didn't have a vision or anything, but I had this perception. I'm going to be honest. I could say, thus said the Lord, but I won't. And I saw, perceived, a whole bunch of us. It wasn't two, three. It was a whole 100, 200, I don't know. Going around with His glory. The key is love. If you perfect this, you'll be like Jesus. You'll be healing people when you didn't even know you healed them. Now, of course, it's not you who's healing them. It's God healing them. You just pass. You're passed by them. Virtue. You know, those in the level of physics, it's an effulgence. Its scope is 360 degrees. It's coming like this. It's coming like this. It's coming like this. It's coming from behind. So all you just do is just pass. The lame will walk. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. It will be as common as tongues is today. You won't be trying to do anything. You just be living your normal life. You go to the supermarket. You go to the market. People who just come by you. Just, oh, I'm sorry they hit you accidentally. You say, I'm healed. They say, who healed it? You would have disappeared in the market. Just like Jesus. You say, where is that person? Is that person I thought? You would have gone home. You know why? You're not interested in the glory. You're only interested in the deliverance of humanity. Let's give a little super clap of Pastor Lawal.
I will serve with you. And I will serve with you. Your spirit leads me on. In the power of your love.
And I will
serve with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of